Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning in to us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today I'm actually really excited because Sheree and I have been talking about trying this brand of wine for a while. And we finally get to try it.
I'm ready. You can't see me, but I'm over here dancing.
She is dancing. And really quick before I start, y'all know that we record our episodes, of course, earlier than they come out. But this episode today in future time is July 14th, which is my husband's birthday. So I would be remiss if I did not wish him a happy birthday on our episode. Only because it's coming
happy birthday,
out
Richard.
On his exact birthday. I have to.
Happy birthday, Richard.
But okay, he's 35. He's the big 35 today. So. But anyway, back to the wine we're drinking. That's all you're gonna hear about him
right now. I just love that she was just like, I have to say this
because it's on his birthday. Like, if it was like the day before, the day after, I would have been. But I was like, no, this one comes out on his birthday, so I have to.
Oh, don't worry.
It's weird while we're recording it because it's like 2 months before.
Because there's one that's going to come out on my birthday, and I'm going to wear a crown for that one.
But yes,
back to the wine.
We have wanted to try this wine for a while because we have wanted to try a black woman owned wine. Mm-hmm. And so if that is not enough of a cue for you, we are drinking Black Girl Magic today. And we're drinking on their red blend. So we are really excited. If you are interested in learning about the backstory of these two women that have made this wine, on How I Built This, it's a podcast called How I Built This. They do a whole episode with the McBride sisters, and they have an amazing story. They're actually half sisters. One was raised in Australia. One was raised in California. Didn't even know the other existed until they were like one. I think the youngest was 16. She's the one from Australia or New Zealand. I think she's from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. But she was 16 when she realized she had an older sister. And it was when both of her parents passed away. And she was raised by like an aunt or a family member or something like that. And then the other sister, of course, the dad left because she was the older one, and then her mom passed away from cancer. And so they found out when the dad was dying that they had each other. And I think like in the story, when they saw each other for the first time, it was like looking in the mirror, and they just wanted to build something together. And so they started, because one was of course from California, which is like Napa Valley heavy, and then the other was from New Zealand, which also has a lot of wine. They wanted to start a wine company, and so they came out with the McBride sisters, which is the overarching winery over Black Girl Magic. And they decided to come out with Black Girl Magic right around the time last year, I guess 2 years ago now, last year. What are we in? 2 years ago. George Floyd. When all of that was happening, and like black women and of course uplifting and things like that. They started it at the Essence Festival. That's what I learned in the story. They came out with their first one at the Essence Festival. They called it Black Girl Magic, and it's been a hit ever since.
So. It's actually, I'm going to say it's a good wine. Because number one, I've not seen one that's not 13.5. So it's a really good wine. I like this.
Well,
like,
this is good.
It's really, really like... It's not light, but it's like it's drinkable. Not. I don't know. The drinkability of it is like, oh, I could sip this and like.
So it says it has fruit forward aromas of black cherry and a freshly red plum. It's smoothed, full body palate, has continuing notes of cherry and plum with added cedar and vanilla from its extended oak aging, and the finish is round and luxurious with layers of perfectly balanced tannin on lush fruit. I actually agree with that.
I agree. And let me tell you, especially about that like first smell, because when I first smelled it, I was like, ugh, which is always how I feel whenever I smell like the tannin and the oak and all that. I've realized that I don't like the smell of like most wines because like that oakiness, I'm like, oh, come on now. But this tastes amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. It's actually really good.
I'm so excited. I love
it. I know, because like, I really wanted it to
try
be good.
Something. Yes. Because I was like, y'all don't understand. The reason that we're so excited is like, I'm like, no, I hate if I was to find something to be like, it's okay.
Yeah,
I mean, no, support them, but no, this is good.
We can support them.
I said,
like,
buy me one of these. I told Sasha when we got on, I said, yo, you can gift me this, like red blend. Like, this is something that you can just give someone because it is pricier.
Yeah,
which it's not.
And they actually, so again, I encourage everybody to listen to the podcast about
them. When we say pricier, we mean it's like almost $20. Okay.
So like, this one was $27. Mine was $27.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine was like 20. Yeah, 25. And so, yes, you're right.
During the episode that I listened about them, they said that they are on the more premium wine. And in wine talk, premium means like over $20, which we wouldn't think of. But you know, that's why they strive to like make their wine good.
High quality.
And their vision at some point is they want to open up an actual like winery vineyard where they teach women of color, women, how to be in the industry. Like they do wine tastings and things like that.
If
so
this happens, I we're
there.
Will go
we're
there.
Definitely there. Yeah,
I will go there. But no, like, you know, it's per, like, I will say, for the price, because I remember like they hit the bullet, doop, and I was just like,
yeah, I didn't realize it was $27 when I picked it up, and I was like, oh, okay.
I was like, oh, Jesus. I said, you know what?
If you guys didn't know, most of the wines that we buy probably max are about $20. Like, we normally spend about $9, $14, $16.
Our average is like $15 a bottle. Yeah. So we're definitely in the like lower tier of good quality, but this is good.
It does say it's perfect for a date. It's a perfect date night wine. It pairs easily with a steak dinner, grilled chicken, or even a baked pasta. And because it's Black Girl Magic, it says it drinks well in the bathtub too.
Amen. Amen again.
So if you want some self-care time, this is a good wine for that as well.
They just touched on, they checked all the boxes, and I just like, I love it. The name, the brand, the everything. I love it. Okay.
So, but today, we're talking, we have a guest today. Her name is Isabella Boateng. I hope I said that right. And she is the kingdom creative behind Truth by Bella. And Truth by Bella is a lifestyle brand and a podcast that discusses gems on life lessons, relationships, faith, and entrepreneurship. Most importantly, connecting back to living a godly lifestyle by speaking the truth and the word. Isabella enjoys helping and connecting with others via event coordinating, photography, networking, writing, creativity, and her personality has really attracted people to wanting to hear her wisdom. Her podcast, Truth by Bella, is available, of course, on all the major podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeart, all that good stuff. And you can connect with her on Instagram at Truth by Bella. Of course, all of that will be in the show notes. So welcome, Isabella. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hello, ladies.
Thank you. So did I say it right? Did I say your last name right?
You did.
We got to give her a hand. Because look, Sasha.
Y'all know I'd be struggling.
Like, Sasha struggles with, like, not even just names. There's certain words that her tongue just be like, no.
And I always read it, and then immediately after it comes out, I'm like, nope, that wasn't it at all. That was not it. But thank you so much for being on the show today. We wanted to have you on the show. So, of course, you guys know we put out a call every season to have folks on the show. And the thing that stuck out with yours was you wanted to talk about being intentionally single,
which
we never think about because a lot of us are unintentionally single.
Unintentionally, consequentially single, accidentally single. Like, there's a lot of words with single. Never intentional.
It's never intentional. So what does that look like, being intentionally single? What does that mean for you?
So I'm gonna even touch on what you guys just said on being single and intentionality. So being single, from what I learned, was, you know, all right, the relationship is over. I am trying to find what I can do next and stuff. So that was something that before I even went into the season of being intentionally single, I used to do that. So I'll be single for like a few months, and then I find somebody that catch my eye, and I'm like, okay, you know, let's get to know each other. Then we're dating. So there wasn't a process of me like really taking time to really heal and understand that. So it took me going through this, a breakup that I went through like years back. And I was like, yeah, God, I can't keep doing this. Like, I really cannot keep doing this. So, and I understood and I started thinking about my future, which is very important to me. So I was like, you know, I don't want to continually be a serial dater and stuff, but I wanted to make sure that I am dating with like an intention of moving towards marriage. So when I got to the season of just like being single, it was the ending of 2019, where I was teaching, I was traveling, I was doing a lot. And I was like, okay, you know, God, honestly, I was seeing repetitive cycles that I did not want to see. So that's when I went into the season of being intentionally single. So being intentionally single meant that I literally needed to seclude my time, like honestly focus on me and focus on what I need to do. But I believe that we all come into this world with an assignment, with a purpose that we need to fulfill. Mm. And if you are just doing whatever flows, then you're not really like moving in the right path. So you need to make sure you know exactly what are you giving your time to? Are you actually building? What impact are you making? Whether it's like simple things or big things. So that whole year, like literally 2020, the ending of 2019, I literally was like, you know, I'm not dating. If someone comes by that's interested, respectfully, just let them know like, hey, this is the season I'm in, because they want to play with nobody's emotions. Be like, oh, you know, you're cool to come along. But nah, like I wanted to keep it 100. Be transparent and let them know like this is the season I'm in. If you want to come along this journey, I'm gonna catch you when I'm out of the season. So that
I think that's so that to me is like a very interesting point, because I think when people think about being intentionally single, it's like, well, my circumstances mean that I'm single. So while I'm single right now, I'll travel. I'll do all the things that I want. But if somebody comes my way, of course I'm going to be open to that. Like, I'm not going to. So the fact that you are like, you know, if somebody catches my eye or I catch somebody's eye, and you're like, just to let you know, I'm not dating right now. Like, that's really interesting to me that you would even think that.
It's something else that you said that I was like, whoa. It's when you were talking about the idea that like we end up being serial daters. That is exactly what I always say. Like, there are so many people I know that cannot be out of a relationship. Like, they have to be with someone. They can't be alone.
J-Lo comes to mind.
Yes.
J-Lo comes to mind. Man, look, and I mean, she has said
Usher.
That.
Look, J-Lo or Usher.
I just saw a picture of Usher yesterday. I think he has another baby, right?
Exactly. Exactly. But like, there are certain people.
Even somebody like J-Lo, she said like years and years ago that she cannot be alone. And you think about somebody who has, like, she's a beautiful woman. She has an amazing body. She has clearly all the money in the world that she could do whatever she wants.
Money that she wants.
She can do whatever she wants. And she has said that she can't be alone. Like, she was supposed to be marrying A-Rod. You know, they broke up, and not even like 2 weeks later, she back with, like, she hasn't confirmed it, but we all know she back with Ben. Like, we all know Bennifer is back in effect. So like, it's
See, here's my thing. What I always say about her is like, she's doing the Thanos thing. She's collecting all the rings because she's been engaged. Like, she goes to a relationship, gets to the point where you're supposed to, or where I quote unquote say you're supposed to, which is, oh, we're going towards marriage. And then be like, actually, hold up. Do I really even want this? Because you go from single to engaged to married, and then you're not single anymore, but you're like, ugh. So she collected her rings. But no, you said, Isabella, you said the intentional single, meaning that you're working on yourself. So many of us don't work on ourselves in our single time. We're like, or else we blame ourselves and say, oh, that just was that, you know, we put it on something else. Oh, that was the wrong person. Oh, you know, whatever. But we don't give ourselves time to heal from everything that we've gone through, because a loss is a loss is a loss. I don't care whether, you know, I believe very truthfully that whenever you have been attached to someone and you lose them, whether it's intentionally you did it or they did it, it's still something that needs to be processed, but we don't.
And you said something too that stuck out to me that I kind of want to talk a little bit more. You said that you noticed that you were having these cycles. And so what was it about that that made you come to the realization like, okay, I don't want to be like that? Like, how did you know that it was like, what were you experiencing that made you say, I want to be intentionally single? Like, I'm going to instead focus on all of my shit and like what I have going on without somebody else being there, because you see all of these cycles. Like, what was that like for you?
So I would say basically when I was in the stage of getting to know someone, I'm a type of person, like if I'm working on something or if I'm like in a conversation with someone, like everything just blurs out, you know, like I can't do this and that and stuff. I've mastered multitasking, but I think like whenever you're speaking to someone, it's important for you to give them their undivided attention. So with that, whenever someone came along and I know I gotta get this done, I know, like, it's kind of like that distractor that came in. So I'll be talking to this person, I'll get to know you, and I got like 10 different things I need to be getting done, but then time prolongs and I start procrastinating. So I was like, okay, you know, this is not a good trait for me to have, especially if I'm going to be a business lady, if I'm going to be a creative, if I'm going to be a teacher and all that stuff. These are things that I need to master now in my singleness. So when it comes to the point of me getting married and having children and stuff, I know exactly how to work all this and the importance of that. So when I went to like getting to know people, I love just learning like little simple things about people. And then I realized that from relationships that I had, there were so much things I was tied to, or I'll start comparing, like, oh, you know, when I was in this relationship, the person was like that. And then I realized that I was doing a disjustice to myself, because you can't compare what you've been through to what you're currently going into. And I was like, so it was unfair to those people. And then I realized I started taking the time to identify what was the root of that. Why was I doing those things? Why was I paying attention to these little key details of a person when they just want to get to know me? They want to know like, hey, if I could be with you and stuff. So with that, I started identifying, I was just like, yeah, there's something that I necessarily need to heal from. There's something that I need to address. So taking that time to just step away from dating and get comfortable and enjoying my alone time. I wasn't lonely, but my alone time was that I needed to know who I was, so I won't have people identifying that, oh, you're this person, oh, you're this person and stuff. Like, I was able to create that definition for myself along with what God was telling me.
So, yeah. I think you touched on one of the biggest things. Ooh. That you were alone, but you weren't lonely. I think
women, I was gonna say that was it.
Women and I think people in general have the idea that if you are not with someone, you are lonely. Like, you, and, yes, and it's just not the case. Because people ask me, even like out of the context of relationships, because I'm an only child. Growing up, I got asked that all the time. Like, don't you ever feel lonely? And it was like, no, like, I'm fine being by myself. Like, it's what I'm used to. So like, I think that's such an important takeaway and something for people to think about. Of course, Sheree and I are married. Like, we have not been intentionally single or single in a very long time. But but I think that's something that's important to remember when you are dating and you're coming in and out of relationships. When you are trying to, if you are trying to be single, or if you're even trying to find a relationship, what is it that you don't like about being alone? Is it that you feel lonely? Is it that you don't like being by yourself? That you feel like you have to have somebody there?
Or is it that everybody
there?
Tells you should be with someone? Because that was mine. Mm-hmm. I had people who continuously swore that I, you know, you need to have a person. And I was like, no, I enjoy being by myself. I'm the person who goes to the movies, dinner for one. Like, I'm the person who my friends would be like, yeah, no, like, legitimately, my friends would always say, where the hell have you been? And I was like, oh, I done did these many things. And they're like, why didn't you call anyone? I was like, I like being by myself. So I've always been that person, and everyone always thought that was odd. But you just said, like, lonely is a different thing from being alone.
Like, it's so important to just like that. I really think that you touched on something there, because I think it's so important to think about that. Like, think about why don't you like to be by yourself? Is it really because, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being lonely. I mean, we're all human. We all get lonely.
See, being intentionally single doesn't mean that we don't have times that we aren't lonely, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of, I'm not going to date someone just to take
just
away
because, yeah, just to have a warm body there. Like, that's exactly not
something, like, I was even speaking to my friends about it. And one of my friends too, like, I identified that he used to be in that cycle as well. It was like, oh, I'll date this person, all that stuff. And then I remember the question that came out of me was like, okay, why are you, what void are you filling? And he was like, dang, Isabella, like, come on. Like, so he started, like, we were all just sitting there, like, breaking it down. And I, one thing I love about my group of friends is that we're able to be transparent and we're able to share those things. Cause I feel like if you don't have accountability, you start going through certain things that you think that I'm the only one that's going through it. But when you're open, you're able to share and you are able to hear people guide you, then you're not going through this whole walk alone. You're not going through this whole life alone. So with that, we started identifying so much things. And then, like, one person, like, man, like, you know, I didn't think about it like this way. I didn't think about it that way. And I sat there, I was like, yo, God, you're really doing something. Cause me, like, I didn't even expect me to even pose that question, but that was something that a lot of times, like, we feel our, like, we feel voice in, like, doing certain things. So me, one thing I used to always do was, like, I knew when I didn't want to really do something, like I said, I will speak to someone. So that will become my distractor. That will be like, you know, I was on this conversation, I was on this long and stuff. But then I had to establish boundaries, like, you know, if I'm getting to know someone, I'm not going to be on the phone for this long because I got other things I need to get done, or there's other work that I need to do. So my friends are like, man, like, yo, you make it seem so easy. And I'm like, no, it's actually a work in progress, because certain things that you're dealing with, you'll think that, oh, it's normal, you know, like, it becomes a part of your routine. But you need to really sit back. And one thing I do every year is reflect. Like, when it comes to my birthday, I'm reflecting on what are certain things that I could have done better? What are certain things that I did well? And also celebrate that as well, because that was something for me. I didn't used to like celebrating myself. I didn't like to, like, brag about what I do and stuff. And it's not something that always comes natural to me. So taking those times to reflect, I was like, all right, like, this is what I need to do. These are some things I need to put into place. And that's what's been helping me.
So I think that's so important. Ooh. Because what that takes me back to, and we talked about this on the live yesterday, Sheree, when we were doing it.
Yes.
When you were talking about when you're looking for distractions, and, you know, that's when you would get into the cycle of starting to talk to people, and then, you know, you're not focused so much on yourself, like, you're, because, and we all do that when we all start dating or you're getting into a relationship, that's when you don't see
not
friends
even
anymore.
I was gonna say, not, it's even like, dating, but the thing is, not even dating, whenever I'm trying to avoid some, my distractors, oh, I'm a procrastinator, so like, that relates to me for work. Oh, there's always something better to do than sit down and do notes, always.
But, like, for me, what it makes me think of is you get so invested into that newness and whatever that is, that if you haven't taken that time to really figure out who you are and the things that you like, you can get lost in whatever that relationship is. And speaking from personal experience, you know, my husband and I have been together since I was 16. We broke up for about a year when I was 25. And so that whole year that we were broken up, it was all of that, like, who am I? Like, because so much of my identity, so much of who I was and the things that I like and the things that I did and even, like, going out and spending time with my friends was so wrapped up in him that I had no idea. When you talk about being intentionally single, I had no idea how to be single as an adult for the first time ever in my life, and what that looked like, what it was that Sasha liked, what it was that Sasha wanted to do, what was important to me, like, how I wanted to spend my time. Like, I was one of the people, like, I can't go to a restaurant by myself. I don't want to sit at a bar by myself. Sure. Like, like, now I don't think I would care, but it was,
I just want you to know, I've always been that. And I, like, and once again, I have a sibling. It's very weird how I became,
and that's the,
like,
thing too. Me being an only child, I'm very comfortable in my solitude, but I've always had boyfriends. So it's like, I'm alone right now because I like I'm fine being by myself, but I know that there's always somebody like I can call if I want to be on the phone with somebody, or like if I want to go somewhere, like, you know, we can do those things. Now I have no problem, like, bye, I can be by myself for a while, it doesn't matter now. But yeah, like when I was younger, it was so, in that period of my life, it was so hard for me to figure out who am I outside of a relationship. And I think, like, learning that was hard.
So see, for me, Sasha, when we talk about this intentionality and like what we're, that voids we're filling, I think that's where I've like, excuse me, never needed that, never needed that other person. I truly was, I would look at all my friends and their relationships and all the issues that they're having, and I'm like, yo, we're too young to be having these kinds of issues. What the fuck's going on? Oh my gosh. This is a lot of drama. I've always been drama. I've been, conflict adverse, I'll call myself. Like, I don't like drama and I don't like conflict. So when I'm looking at my friends in these relationships and they arguing down the halls and they screaming and shouting, I'm like, oh, I don't want that.
That was me.
Like, yeah, see, 100%. And I never wanted that. So it was like, they were like, why don't you have a boyfriend? Don't you like, I was like, oh, I like all these people. And I could tell you, I like you. And we can like go out on a date if you want or whatever, but, or not. And they're like, so you just don't give a fuck one way or another. I was like, no, I really have no care whether if I'm dating someone. And when I began dating, my relationship lasted for like 3, 4, 5 years. Like, it was like, they were like, how did you do this? How did your relationship last so long? I said, because I went into my relationship knowing what I wanted and what I didn't want. And they were like, huh?
Yeah, because I think we say
that's all.
A lot about those things. Like, oh, I'm not going to do this and X, Y, and Z, or I'm not going to tolerate X, Y, and Z. And then we get into a relationship, and because we're not confident in them choices, we be like, oh, you know, this is okay. Like, I'll deal with this because it's this person. Nah. Whereas if you, and I think, because I don't know how old you are, Isabella, but I feel like it comes, that's definitely something that you hear a lot from older women. Like, a lot of older women who have been doing it for years, and like, you know, once you get older, the older you get, the less fucks you have to give. Like, you're like, I don't care, I'm not wasting my time on people I don't like. Like, this is who I am, this is what I like, this is what I want. And so the older you get, it's a lot easier to say, I'm not going to tolerate X, Y, and Z because I don't need someone in my life. Like, if you're here, it's because I want you here.
Yep. Sasha, that's the thing where you said, you know, I always tease you about being born 50, but that is my, like, I was not born with enough fucks to give. I had to have been born with whatever age you are, that you don't have enough fucks to give about like doing all this and giving all this output for no input. I'm like, I've never been that person. So that's where it is. That's where it comes from. I'm like, I re-fucking fuse to like be putting this much effort, energy, and time and feeling like fulfilled at the end of the day. And that's what, like, Isabella, you were talking about this idea of like, what do you want? I have a litmus test that I've always done, even whether I'm in a relationship, talking to someone, or single. Mm-hmm. If I'm unhappy, or I have moments of unhappiness, we all have moments of unhappiness, mm-hmm. but if I'm continuously unhappy, I give mm-hmm. myself 6 months. 6 months mm-hmm. of unhappiness, and then something's got to change. That's whatever that means. Well, here's the thing. 6 months of, and I'm talking about like up and down. Like, I'm talking about the ups and downs, mm. you know, not the, if I'm continuously unhappy.
Like, you get a solid 3 months out of me.
Like, no, not continuously unhappy don't last. If I'm continuously unhappy, then that's easy. But I'm talking about that. Oh, we're good. We're not arguing up, down, you know, that back and forth, the tumultuous relationship. I'll give myself 6 months of being like, yo, do I really want this shit? And nah, I'm good. I don't care how much I care about you. I'm good. So like, mm-hmm. yes, the intentionality of like, nah.
I would say, so I'm going to have been 6 months on my, I would be like, that's too long. Cause that is long. Mm-hmm. Like, I would even like one thing I understood was, even like when you're getting to know people, there are certain mm-hmm. questions that you should be asking. And I think that a lot of times people procrastinate on that. Like, you try to put your best mm-hmm. self first and stuff. And then you get into a whole relationship, you'd be like, wow, I didn't know you were like that. But had you asked those questions before committing, then it would have opened up like so much things that you're able to invest into. So I started doing that. And I one thing for like, my friends be like, yo, you're always asking questions. And that's one thing, like, that's how I'm able to learn, like, and understand things. So I took, like, what I used to even do in school, what I used to do in, like, just even regular friendships and whether regular business interactions, that I'll ask this question. Okay, so what are the, like, even when it comes to, like, purchasing something, I'm like, is there some hidden fees? You know, like, just simple things like that.
But yeah.
You need to also apply that to your relationships. And once, so I was always praying about it, and I was just saying, like, God, you know, surround me with people that are honestly going to help me to grow, and not just like, you know, you're doing good, okay, cool, they're just saying, like, they're cheering me on because they're my friend, quote unquote. But I wanted to be something that's intentional. So with that, when I say it was like 2018, God did a whole, like, a shifting, like, he did a shifting in my life where the people that I thought mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm gonna see them like 10 years, we're gonna be doing this friendship stuff, he had to remove them. And I was just saying, like, and I knew that it was like God, because I didn't feel the need to chase after them. I didn't feel the need to identify mm-hmm. what the relationship was and stuff. So one thing I was praying about, and God was like, yeah, I need to remove those people because they were blocking where I'm trying to take you. And sometimes people think that because I'm cool with you now, that in the end, like, I'll be going into this next season with you. But sometimes we need to do a shedding process, and that you need to understand that, okay, this person is not going to help me. So you need to get people that are going to help you. And so, like, the intentionality is not just solely to romantic relationships, but also friendships as well. Cause I was sitting there like, you know, these are, like, if I'm going to surround myself with, like, friends, I want them to be able to help me. I want them to be able to rebuke me if I'm doing something wrong. And people miss out on that. Like, they always think that sometimes, like, I've known people that if their friend, like, critiques something that they're doing, they're like, oh, she's coming for me. And it's like, no, like, maybe you need to take that feedback. Maybe you need to hear that because they're trying to help you. And
you're just like, I love it. I'm just over here like, she is preaching.
We've talked so much about that. There are people in your lives for seasons.
Yes.
Some people's seasons can last decades and decades. Some seasons are forever. Yep. Some seasons are months. Some seasons are weeks. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with people being in your life for a certain amount of time and then no longer being there without animosity or, like, anything bad happening. And I think you touched on something that's important.
Yes.
Because when you do the work of really reflecting on yourself and the things that you want out of life and how you want your future to look like and what kind of person you want to be, you start to look at your relationships, both friend relationships and romantic relationships, and really look at them and say, are these people serving who I want that person to be? Because maybe I want to be the person that, you know, that, like, doesn't, you know, I'm tired of partying every night. You know, I love my girls, but every time we get together, we go out and I'm, like, pissy drunk and I don't like the way
it's
that
like,
feels.
Man, like, I don't like this. You know,
and but you keep doing it because they're your girls, you love them, like, and that's how y'all bond to,
because I've known them for decades, so of course we're like going to be each other's weddings and oh my gosh.
But you have to, it really takes a lot to kind of say, I don't want to be that anymore. And if you go to these friends and you're like, I don't like doing that, can we do X, Y, and Z instead, and you see that relationship starting to fade away, there's a reason, like, and that's okay. Like, that is perfectly fine.
Like, I think on that same note, because me and you have talked about this in, like, our podcast, talking about the becoming a mom and how our relationships have changed with our friends who maybe not be mothers, or who are now mothers, but just we're all different in different, like, pieces of our life. That doesn't mean that you are, like, I love the word shedding, because, like, shedding, like, to me, he says, it doesn't mean that we're getting rid of everything, but it just means that what's unnecessary is going to fall away. Yeah. Like, that's what I immediately thought of. You outgrow, and what's not there is not going to be there. And the people who are and the things that are going to be there. We had to do a transformation with our friendships, because I'm a mom and no, I can't go out, or no, I can't do the same things, or I might not even want to anymore. But that doesn't mean that I still don't need people, that I still don't want those people around. So that's absolutely.
I want to ask you, just to kind of, like, to kind of bring it home for everybody, because this is an amazing conversation, and I really feel like people, it really just boils down to like, do the work on yourself, like really look into yourself and what do you want? What don't you want? What are you willing to accept? You know, but during this whole period in your life where you have, the, you know, you've been intentionally single and you've done kind of that introspective work. Like what's been one of the lessons that you've taken away during this time? Like what's the biggest thing you think you've learned from not having to deal with other people?
Yeah. So one of the things that the big lesson I took was, and I even spoke about this in an episode, intentionality. And I learned that I'm actually a lit person, like by myself and with other people. And I used to I'd be like, oh, you know, like everything's chill. Like I always heard like I'm chill, but I'm like, no, when you put yourself at an extraordinary level, like you don't allow people to come at you anyhow. Like you make sure they're approaching you and they're actually coming with something, like not just a, oh, hey, how you doing and stuff. So I think that when I had to shift my mindset, when people approach me, they're like, yeah, you know, I know I can't come to you anyhow. And I didn't need to say anything because it was on how I treated myself, on how I was loving on myself, that they were able to see that as well. And then also too, when I started thinking about relationship, I made sure that I wasn't dating or looking at compatibility when it comes into like, because now I'm into dating now, or I made sure I'm not dating trying to look at compatibility solely, but also looking if this person is a suitable person for me, for my future and where God is taking me. So there's definitely a big difference on suitability and compatibility. So that I even spoke more about that, because sometimes people are like, oh, you know, like we like this, we like that and all that stuff, but there's more to that. Like maybe like where you need to go, you need to have somebody that's a little bit opposite that can actually help you grow and be more like open-minded to like trying different things. So I've learned that, and I'm just like, man,
that's very important actually, because I think like when my husband and I first met when we were kids, when you talk about something like compatibility, you would not think that we would work with each other, because at that time our personalities, the things that we were into, our extroverted introvertedness, we were very opposite. Like he was going out to go-go's all the time. Like he had a bigger circle of friends. Like he definitely would drink and things like that. I wasn't drinking at that point. Like, and he was like this cool person in school. Hey, you know, everybody knew who he was. I had my five friends and that was it. And I was like slightly nerdy and like stuff like that. But then when you look at him and I now, and how we've grown together, like when Sheree's talking about I'm a 50-year-old woman on the inside, he's a 50-year-old man. Like I married a 50-year-old man.
Exactly. So, all those things don't matter. At y'all's core, y'all both old ass people who found each other, and you found your soul in someone else. Amen. Because yes, no, he's definitely Isabella. You don't understand. I don't know him, but my friends went to school with him. I'm like, I don't know who this man is. This old ass man. And I've known Sasha, I was like, oh no, she's always been old. I said, they're perfect together. It's beautiful.
And even like the shifts, and like Sheree knows the shifts and the things that he likes now and what he's into. You never would have guessed that that's who he would have grown up to be almost 20 years later. Like he's like fishing and he's into
kayaks, you know, and like fishing, yeah, and chilling,
water sports. And like, you know, just so like, oh, I'm just, I like, he used to, he, when I met my husband, he used to go out every single weekend. He'd be like at the go-go every Thursday night. Like he was always just doing something. He was always like partying and things like that. And it wasn't until we were probably in our later 20s that he really started to settle down. And it would be, he was like, okay, I can go, instead of going out with friends, he would go to the bar and he would just go by himself. And he would like make friends with the bartender and things like that. And then it was like, well, I'm just going to go over to my friend's house because we're going to watch the fight or something like that. Yeah. I'm not going out to the club and things like that. And part of that, of course, comes with getting older.
Yeah.
But it's again that compatibility versus suitability. Like if you would have looked at us, you would have been like, yo, why are they together? They have nothing in common. Like there's nothing. Yeah. But at that deeper level, like we suited each other's personality, because he helped bring out a lot of my, like, okay, let's yeah, like, let's have fun together. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I kind of, like, he knows everything about Harry Potter because of me.
He accepted your odd. He accepted your oddities. No, that's the same thing that I'm, like, even with me and Brandon. Brandon and me both are the turn-uppers in terms of partying.
Yes.
Like, we will both go out. We will set the party off. Like, yeah, we're dancing. We have a coordinated dance. Like, you ain't got to worry. If we're there, there's going to be at least several, two people on the dance. You have
several coordinated dances.
Okay, whatever. That's not the point. The point is, but no, but also, like, we also enjoy watching movies together. We also enjoy spending time alone and away from each other. Those things I would not have known, like, because I always tell him he was well known when I met him. Like, I was literally his girl. That was my name. It was his name. Oh, you size girl. And I'm like, because he knew that many people. And I was like, how the fuck do y'all know me? I truly stayed low key on this campus for a reason. I don't know y'all. I don't like people. And I married someone who knows every fucking body. Mm-hmm. So, but it turns out that he really is just a homebody, a chill person. And I said, he actually likes to be home a lot more. When he's out, he's out. But I was like, he loves to be in the house. And I was like, oh, that's why we work.
That's good. So another thing too, that just popped in my mind was also identifying and knowing who you are. So something for me that I used to get when I was younger was like, oh, you're this person's sister. Like, I have sisters. And always, people will always identify me to my sister. And I'm just like, nah, like, I'm my own person. So with that, I needed to understand who I was. Because if I allow people just to identify me or attach me to this person and stuff, and even think about friendships as well, like, the friends that you hang around, sometimes you be associated with that. So when you're looking at your circle, also pay attention to stuff like that. Like, people won't really take the time to know you, but they may prejudge you based off somebody that you're associated with or somebody that you are, like, friends with and stuff. So those are important things, like, when you're looking at where do you want to go? Where do you want to see yourself in the future, and understand the people that will be going with you? So, yeah.
You said it perfectly. I think that's the perfect way to kind of wrap up the show, I think. Like, it's absolutely all about, I think it's important for us women, and just people in general, but especially women, to take the time. Society likes to say that as women, we have to, our jobs and lives are to be in a relationship, get married, have kids, and be tied to somebody else. And it's becoming more acceptable that that's not the only option. And I think it's important for us as women to remember who we are, like, and to really take that time, really do that work to figure out what it is we want our own lives to look like. Mm-hmm. That might include somebody. It might not. Mm-hmm. It might be that, you know, you are perfectly fine in this life. And if somebody happens to come around, you like, and you enjoy their time, cool. Mm-hmm. But it's not a requirement for you to be happy. Yeah. Like, it's not something that you have to have in your life in order to find happiness or be fulfilled. Yeah. I think, like, the biggest takeaway is that we can find fulfillment within ourselves and and who we are and the things that we are naturally as people, versus looking for that inside of someone else, like taking that from someone else. We need to do that work within ourselves first. So I just want to thank you so much, Isabella.
Thank you
for being on. Because it definitely, Sheree and I could talk about this, but it probably wouldn't be as authentic because we ain't, like I said, we ain't been single in forever.
We got enough of those, like, the phrases like mine is, if what's for us is for us. And we always say that. And I think that's what it comes, like, what I was taken away from it. But I'm like, you touched on so many things. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, so much for having me. Like, I'm even enjoying this. And I was just over here smiling too, as you guys spoke about your own relationships and how that match and how you guys were able just to even do marriage alongside. So, and also happy birthday to your husband too, Sasha.
Thank you. He'll love that. I'm gonna play that one just for him because he does not listen to the show at all. But I'm gonna play the beginning and the end of the episode just for him. I'll be like, look, we said happy birthday to you. But we want to hear about you, from you ladies, if you are in a season of your life where you are single. I want to hear about if it's intentionally. Like, are you intentionally being single? Has this episode kind of changed your mind? If maybe you're unintentionally single and now maybe you want to think that this is a good time to start doing some of that introspective work. We would love to hear from you guys. Of course, you can join the conversation that's happening on Instagram, probably right now at Swirl and Sip Podcast. You can always email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast. Just before I forget, because I always run through this spiel, you can find Isabella at Truth by Bella on both Instagram and Truth by Bella on Facebook. So make sure that you check her out as well. And make sure that you listen to her own podcast. You can find our podcast on all of your major podcast platforms. Make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review. The rating and reviewing really helps us because it helps other people find the show, and it really helps conversations like these be heard by more people, which is what we're trying to do. If you want to be a member of our Sip Squad and hear us talk way more about Black Girl Magic and why we love it, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. I feel like that's everything. Oh, it's only $3 a month, and it helps pay for our editor.
It helps us sponsor our editor.
We love him, and he does this out of the kindness of his heart, and so we would love to pay him. So you can always join us at patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. It's less than a coffee, you guys. Like, literally, it's one coffee a month. And we really appreciate the help. But as always, make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.